new evangelicalism. Speaking to a man one time, and he was from France, I believe, and he told me that it was with great dismay that he would now look across his country and see that you could hardly find a little witness that wasn't caught up in new evangelicalism in some degree or another. And it's largely for this reason that the Church of Christ today, in some degree, is more concerned with organization than it is with reaching out. Going round the doors is reaching out. Inviting your family and your work colleagues along to special meetings, you're reaching out. Having a gospel campaign is reaching out to the community in which God in His providence has placed you and I to serve. Now, whatever men may think, what we do is not out of date. In fact, it's more needy than it has ever been in my lifetime that we would be reaching out. And even a casual reading here of the book of Acts will show that reaching out to others was something which was then, and I personally believe today, can be singularly blessed and used and owned of the Lord. I've been here for 3.5 years, and I know enough to know, as you do, that generally speaking, the people of Achillea and the people of Ballinderry and the people of the various country roads, they're not interested in your Christianity. But that does not mean to say that you and I should stop being interested in them. We still need to reach out. And bearing in mind the words there in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, I want to draw your attention to several thoughts tonight. I want you to notice first of all that the word being presented is God's will. The word being presented is God's will. You'll notice there where it says, and the word was published throughout all the region. The word published here in the original means to be circulated or to be diffused. The thought is of a saturation of the area with the word of God. And it's very interesting to note that since the day of his conversion and the subsequent commission, this had been Paul's consuming passion, was to reach men and women with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had people he loved. You have people you love, and there's nothing wrong with loving them. And you have things that you're interested in, there's nothing wrong with that. But we must have the passion that Paul had. Otherwise you won't consider reaching out. Seeing that the word is diffused or circulated among the people will not be something that really appeals to you. And I think this fact is vividly demonstrated where Paul, who had a burning desire for his own, said over there in the book of Romans in chapter 9, said there, I say the truth in Christ, verse 1, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He had a continual heaviness and a sorrow in his heart. He was a burdened man. He loved people's souls for eternity. And look at the next chapter in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And when confronted with the obvious fact of a closed door, which Paul did come up against, you've come up against that occasionally in outreach, you might come up against it in your family as you try to invite them along to the mission. When he was confronted with a closed door, his normal thing was to look for another door to open. And very often that happens when you're seeking to serve the Lord and reaching out, that when one door closes, another door, maybe one you hadn't even thought about, that door opens. And not being one to act without scripture authority, if you look at verse over there in Acts 13 again, it's verse 47. It says there, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, he is quoting here directly from Isaiah 49 and verse 6. You can look that up at home yourself. God's commission to Christ. Because that's what that was in Isaiah 49 and 6. God's commission to Christ became Paul's warrant for reaching out to the Gentiles or the nations outside Jewry. He reached them with fervency. He sought to reach them with fearlessness. He reached them, I believe, with faithfulness. Look with me, please, over there in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 says there in verse 20 of chapter 20. You can read all the context at home yourself. Take time to do that. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look there, verse 27 of that chapter, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul did not seek to win men and women through flattery. He did not seek to win them by seeking to embrace part of their erroneous belief. But he sought to win them by presenting them with that which was profitable, which obviously from the context was the word of God in all of its fullness. And that's what you do when you present the gospel to needy men and women. And if you look there in Mark chapter 16 and the verse 15, you will see our warrant. It says there in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or to every creature capable of understanding it. That is the commission which has gone to God's people and still stands today. There's no mention of change regarding method or regarding message. But brethren and sisters, God's word is to be presented, because I cannot find anything other than the fact that God's word being presented is God's will. It is God's will. And it is not for us to go along here week by week. Of course, we do that through a big part of the year, but I never think of reaching out in some way, through a children's mission or a children's week, through the various gospel campaigns, through the tract distribution, those who go on the outreach. I believe that it is God's word, that God's will, that God's word would be presented. And of course, when we're reaching out in a sense week by week and inviting men and women in, we cannot try to win them through flattery. I remember a man telling me one time that he went to a meeting, this is years ago, and an office bearer in that particular assembly came to him, and he knew he was a very good gospel preacher and very plain and straight. And he said to him, he said, you know, there's a couple of people in there tonight, and he mentioned where they were from. He said, would you mind toning it down a wee bit? Of course, he didn't tone it down a wee bit. I know of another occasion where a man who was a very able preacher of the gospel went to a congregation that were extremely good to him. But there was a condition. He had to tone it down. And he did tone it down. He toned it down. There's nothing of that in the book of Acts. It is God's will that God's word is presented to men and women, that the whole counsel of God is presented to men and women. Over there again in the book of Acts in chapter 8. As I said, it would be very good to read the book of Acts again, even between now and the mission yourself. It would encourage your heart, stir you up over there in the book of Acts. It says there in Acts chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look at verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. You see, it did not matter whether the sun was shining or whether the storm was upon them, which it was here. Their message was still the same. And folks, that is the message that the Lord blesses. He blesses the preaching of the whole counsel of God, the publishing or the preaching of His Word. And as we think of Our wee text tonight there in Acts chapter 13, verse 49, that the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And we think of this region. It's the word of God that women need, and men need, and boys and girls need. But notice something else now. Not only is the presenting of the word God's will, but the word of God is the best encourager to have with you. Paul and his associates would not labour without some very great discouragements. Now look, if you would please, in verse 46 of our chapter 13. It says there in verse 46, "And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." These are strong words. But you see, Paul and Barnabas weren't there to amuse themselves. And they weren't there to amuse the people that they were preaching to. Now, I know that in gospel campaigns, we have great joy usually. And sometimes there's a little bit of jesting between preachers and so on. And that's the way it goes. But you and I know it's not an entertainment. We're not here to entertain the crowds. And Paul here in his speaking, he says here that these people, they have judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. In fact, you've took the word and you've put it from you. What discouragements there was for the Apostle Paul. In the next chapter in verse 9, "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them." You see, it wasn't all plain sailing for the Apostle Paul and his associates. And you and I will inevitably meet with those who will do just that. They will put the word from them. That person who said, "No, I don't want that tract," what are they doing? They're putting the word from them. That person who took it and threw it in the corner, they're putting the word from them. That person who listens here in the church building week, on some occasions perhaps, and they go out without Christ, they are in effect putting the word from them. But isn't it right to say that the greatest encourager that you and I can have with you is the word of God itself? Over there in Mark's Gospel again, the chapter I looked at was chapter 16, says there verse 20, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." And here's the confirmation. "And confirming the word with signs following." You and I are glad that as we seek to reach men and women, be it here in the congregation, on the outreach, or when you seek to invite your family members to the gospel mission, that the best encourager that you can possibly have with you is the word of God and God in his word. And as you and I take encouragement in the word, I believe that the Lord will bless us as we seek to reach out to men and women. Look at verse 52 of chapter 13 in Acts. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now, they had just been turned away. We look at verses 50 and 51. They had just been really laughed at, if you like. In fact, they'd been thrown out. But it says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I may have told you a story way back at the start when I first come here, but it bears repetition. We were doing outreach from Dungannon Church many years ago, and we went to the village of Moy, and we're giving out some invitations, and little known to me, there was a man who recognised me. And the next few days, a few days later, when we were out in the coal lorry, my brother and I, my brother came out and he says, "Here." He says, he sent that back. He says, "Give it back to you. He doesn't want it." I didn't give it to him. I wasn't at his house, but I took it back. Really hurt and discouraged and disheartened, as you would be when somebody gives you that back. And I went on that day and was thinking about it all day. And I went away out in a wee country lane, and there was two sisters lived there in what was only like a wee crofter's cottage, and it was falling down around them. And they were both Roman Catholics and very aged. And one of them came out to me. I went up about every month with coal, and she came out in tears. And I said to her, "Are you okay, dear?" And she said, "No." And I can't even remember the name of the other one. It was Aisling, or whatever way you pronounce it, I think. She says she's dead. So I sympathised with her and told her I was very, very sorry to hear that. And I said, "There's not much more I can say to you, really, but," I says, "I've got a wee leaflet in the lorry there that I believe if you read it and believe it, it will really help you. Would you read it? And she took it with a heart and a half. The same leaflet that the man had sent back to me. And now if he hadn't sent it back to me, I wouldn't have had anything in the lorry that day. And only eternity will reveal if the Lord used that leaflet to the salvation of that dear woman's soul. Remember another occasion hearing of a man in outreach, and he was going around just before the mission, and he went to where two brothers lived, and he went in and they said, "Come on in." He went in and started talking to them and said, "Did you ever think about being saved?" "Oh yes, we've thought about it, we've heard about it, but we've just been waiting for a long time for anyone to come round and show us to be saved." And the two of them got saved there and then, in a few minutes, in the house. Why? Because they had the word of God. The evangelist had the word of God. The best encouragement that you have on the outreach or in reaching out even from the church is the word of God itself. But notice something else here about publishing the word. God uses the rank and file of the church. Every one of us will freely admit tonight that the fear of man and the fear of man's reaction is something which we think a lot about. You wonder, will a person, will he be nasty? Someone comes to the door. I told you about that big fella in Tintown up in Resharkin, and he just stared at me. Didn't say anything. All these green, white and yellow tattoos on him. And never said anything. But the fear of man and what he thinks is something maybe we think, well, they'll be really, really intellectual and they'll make me feel really small. Well, God uses the rank and file of the church. I read to you earlier on about Stephen's persecution and how the church was scattered everywhere except the apostles. The apostles were not scattered. So those who in fact went everywhere preaching the word of God, that was the rank and file of the church. I don't want to use the term ordinary because we're all ordinary. But that was people who were not apostles. That was people who were not a regular pulpit preachers, if you like. But that was the ordinary people who did the other things in the church. They were extremely useful to the Lord at that time, and I believe they can be extremely useful to the Lord today. You can preach in your own home, places where I will never be, in your own work perhaps. Some people are very good at speaking to people on the doors and so on. Now, you can look up to Acts chapter 4 yourself, read about where Peter and John were opposed. They had Caiaphas and Annas there. They were present at the trial of Christ, and Christ died. And now Peter and John, you can read concerning them. Read that chapter yourself, verses 8 through to the end of verse 12. And you will see, in spite of knowing what could happen to them, Peter and John continued to be forthright in presenting Christ. They continued to be plain in presenting Him. And they continued to be consistent in presenting Him. It says of them that they took note of them that they'd been with Jesus. It also says that they were unlearned men. Doesn't mean they were a bunch of idiots. It doesn't mean that there were those who were behaving in such a way, in a charismatic, what we would term charismatic way today, going on about emotional feelings and all of these things. Where it says they were unlearned men simply means they were unlettered men. They were unlettered men, but they were preaching the word as best they knew to men who were lettered. To men who were lettered. And in their preaching they exposed sin. They lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ and they exhorted men and women to turn to Him. And they did it in a brilliant way. Who were they? They were ordinary men. Ordinary men with God-given ability. Now there was none of them. I believe there was none of them would have been able to touch Paul when it come to actual preaching. But nevertheless, the Lord used him in a tremendous way. He uses the rank and file of the church. Please do not for one moment think that you have nothing to contribute to this mission. You can invite a young person along. You can invite a work colleague or a family member along. That person could be saved. And who knows what that person, perhaps not even married now, could end up with children who they will teach in the things of God, who could grow up to be men and women who will turn this country around for the Lord. Who knows what the Lord is able to do through the rank and file of the church. So when you see there that the word of the Lord was published throughout the region, always the rank and file of the church are greatly involved in it. But I want you to notice something else here, that the word
is the sword of the Spirit. Power in what we say is something that we also feel a lack of. I mentioned to you just the other week, Acts chapter 8, where it talks there and the Lord is speaking. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Keep getting those two mixed up. Acts 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now look at chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And verse 33. It says there, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither, says verse 32, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I'm sure already, as far as outreach is concerned, as far as the church having the campaign is concerned, and again I mention your family because that's important to you, as far as all that's concerned, I'm sure already you felt powerless. You didn't have any power. You talked to the people and it just seemed the same as ever. Well, remember this, that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And when the Word is presented, God the Holy Spirit is the one who can bring concern and conviction to the hearts of men and women. Not you. We cannot create an anxious thought. So I just say that to encourage you to keep on keeping on and keep doing what you're doing. You may feel powerless, but if you can get the Word of God into the hands of men and women, or get them under the sound of the Word of God, then it is God the Holy Spirit's ministry to do the rest. I've one final thought here, and it is this, and of course I suppose this covers all that we've said already. There is a dying world around us that need you and I to publish the Word of God. Dying world around us that need us to publish the Word of God. Acts chapter 14 and the verse 15. Saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein. Men and women all around us today, folks, are caught up in vanity. I was actually speaking to someone briefly this afternoon, and they said that they indicated in what they said that while the credit crunch is not something that people take great joy in, that it may not all be negative, because people have been so caught up in materialism, felt they didn't need the Lord. Vanities. The preachers to turn them from vanity to the true and living God. And I've nearly finished here over in Romans chapter 10. It says there in verse 14. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Doesn't necessarily mean how shall they hear without the Reverend Salt or the Reverend Douglas or the Reverend Martin or the Reverend Gray. How shall they hear without someone in the rank and file of the church giving them that invitation or bringing them along to the meeting? Over there, or down there, sorry, in verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, we're back again to the Word of God. A dying world around us needs you to publish the word. There was a school in County Armagh where one of our ministers was able to get in, and he was invited in to do assemblies. And when he was moving on to a different church, he'd received a call to another church. The unsaved principal of the church said, now, whenever someone else takes your place, make sure you send them to me. And that was an unsaved woman talking. Make sure you send them to me. And that preacher was greatly touched through that statement. An unconverted woman who'd had him there for several years while he was in that church. She'd had him along to the school, speaking to the boys and girls, and she sat in. And when he was going, she said, make sure you send somebody else with the same message. So sad to think, of course, that someone like her outside of Christ had the concern that the Word of God would be preached, but nevertheless, how many there are that are dying around us without the Lord. The wee chorus says, untold millions are still untold. And when we consider that dying world around us, and we again, we stick to the book of Acts, you can read Acts 16 would be a good chapter to read tonight before you go to sleep. If you read verses 16 to 18, you will see that the Lord, the Word of God, God working through His Word, breaks the power of sin in a life. Does what the apostles couldn't do. Does what the Reverend John Gray will never be able to do. In Acts 16, concerning Lydia in verse 14, you will see that God, the Holy Spirit, working through the Word, does again what the preacher cannot do, draws men to Christ. Lydia's heart was opened that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, you have the, we turn to that one, Acts chapter 16, of course we have the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, and said, this is the Philippian jailer, verse 30, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In that chapter, you have the power of sin broken, you have the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, and you have the life-changing word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There was a man who was broken, he was concerned, and he was converted. That's all I've time to say tonight, really. We have much more that we could have said regarding the publishing of the Word. I'll read the verse again. It says, And the Word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And over these next weeks, I mention the various spheres again. There is among your family and work colleagues. There is the outreach of the church around this locality. There is the reaching out of the church in order to try to bring men and women in. It's all to do with the publishing of the Word, or the circulation of the Word, or the diffusing of the Word among the area in which we work. And what a blessing to know that that Word has been published right throughout the region. Let's look to the Lord for a great time of blessing. And may the Lord encourage our hearts night by night as we listen to the preaching of the Gospel. May we be in the spirit of prayer continually, and may we see men and women nightly coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a closing hymn. It's 330.